I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles, to turn with me. I'm going to exhort you for just a moment. Go to John chapter 6, the Gospel of John. Of course, 1 John only goes to 5, so you knew that. So we're going to go to the Gospel of John chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 1. Hallelujah. Good to see all of you this morning. And if I didn't get a chance to hug you, I will before it's over with today. Amen. And praise the Lord. I had a supernatural dream last night. And I don't know how long it lasted. I can't tell you the details of it prior to one scene or after one scene. But it's one of those ones when you get up and you know that it's from Him, because that's really all that's in front of you as you're sitting down to drink your coffee or whatever you do. But it was that kind. And then I actually asked the Lord, and He said, well, it was almost a redundance, or like what's in front of you. I just knew it was Him. So, but I saw a church, and it was this church, and it was this building, but not this building, because it was many times or far larger than this, and it was just packed to capacity. It was just packed with full capacity, and it must have been the scene. It was in living color. I mean, it was almost high definition as I'm thinking about it now, because there were people standing there. I must have just opened it up for greeting, because everyone was in order, but they were all talking and saying hi to each other. And it was just way beyond this, and it was way back, and it was a place full of life, and there was a lot of people. Hallelujah. That was it. That's in front of us, though. Hallelujah. God dream. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to look with me for just a few moments at a simple passage, but nevertheless very powerful. Hallelujah. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, and I'm reading in verse 1 of 6, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up His eyes, He saw a company come unto Him. And He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? We'll just stop right there. Obviously, we're going to read the rest of this scenario, which you may have read or heard taught so many times. This is the feeding of the 5,000 plus. Obviously, we don't know the number, but it's so easy to patronize in our own minds what we've heard so many times before, like that's the feeding of the 5,000. If we delve into this in our thoughts, in our meditation, and we look at it from a real miracle standpoint, if there were 5,000 men, and the gospel actually, even in another place, says this was besides women and children. So it's very possible that there was 15,000, maybe 20,000, the population of Immokalee. That's kind of what you'd put, if all of Immokalee. Now, I've seen 5,000 come to an Immokalee football game. Can you imagine 4 to 5 times that amount in a big field, all for hearing the gospel, and the miracles were taking place? But now it's time for them to either make a decision to send them away or to feed them. And Jesus knew what He was going to do. And they found a lad there with just these barley loaves. And when we say loaf, we think about the loaf we buy at the store. It wasn't that. These were enough to just feed a kid his lunch. So they were very small, and two fishes. And Jesus begins to give instruction in verse 10. He says this, "Make the men sit down." And now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes. And I love this part, as much as they would. This is an amazing miracle. Jesus didn't sit there and break up enough pieces for 20,000 people. He just broke it once and gave it to his disciples. And as it was in their hands and as they began to distribute it, it began to multiply among the disciples and among the people as well. It was a total encompassing miracle that took over the crowd. And the beautiful part here is what I just read. One of the beautiful parts of it here is that it says in verse 11, as much as they would. In other words, they got to eat as much as they wanted. Amen. Now that sounds simple, but that's the God that we serve. And that's who he is. And that's beautiful because, I like it when I go to somebody's house and I get to eat as much as I want. You know what I'm saying? I got to think about this for a minute because maybe there might be, I don't want to say, so. I've been to people's houses and they have grilled your portion and they put it on the plate and here's your portion and each one of you get, here you go, here's your little pork chop. Or here's your. I like going to somebody's house where it's serve yourself, and there's like, you don't get individual portions. You buffet style. You get as much as you want. Hallelujah. So if you invite me over, hallelujah. If you're into just grilling one steak, grill three, and maybe I'll stop at one and a half or two, okay? But this was the scene. They got as much as they want. That's God. Amen? Simple, but practical. And it says this, that when they were filled, everybody say filled. That means, everybody say this, that means totally filled. Full up. Yeah, there you go. And he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remained, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above. Everybody say over and above. Over and above unto them that had eaten. Hallelujah. This is incredible because this is the God that we serve through Jesus Christ. And this is where we find, amazing enough, you heard it here first, this is an astronomical, unequivocal, deep, deep, deep revelation, okay? I know everybody's hearing it out there, but nevertheless, I have to spill it this morning. This is really deep. This is the first place that you find where they passed the basket in church. They gathered up the barley loaves. Is that deep or what? That is so deep. Now you know I'm being facetious. But they passed the baskets out. And here's the deal. They put back in what he gave them. Now that is good. Whatever you've got, He's given to you. But that's what giving is. It is you giving back what He's already supplied. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 8 says this, "For I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He were rich, yet He became poor, that I through His poverty might be made rich." Now that richness comes to us first through salvation. And then every other part of our life, whether that is healing, whether that is financial prosperity or whatever. But here, this typifies. This is exactly what God does in our life. He supplies. And then out of that supply, how many of you know by this simple story, this is all simple. Obviously, I was being facetious there, and you were like, well, what kind of revelation? Well, the revelation is this. Whatever you've got, He gave it to you to give back. This morning, we're going to do something. Robert, would you come? And Harry, would you come? Would you grab one of those? These baskets here, right here, are the original one. These are four. We have four, actually. Four of the original baskets that were passed in the feeding of the 5,000. You are a slow crowd, man. I'll tell you what. I'd hate to work you in Vegas. All right. Just because it says Bed Bath and Beyond on the bottom, do not pay attention to that. These are anointed baskets, and we're going to pass them. And if you just want to touch them, even if you're not giving anything, it's anointed baskets. I'm just kidding, okay? I'm just kidding. My goodness. Lord have mercy. Let's be serious when we come to church. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray over it. And would you get ready to give? Father, we worship You. We bless You for Your great goodness and all of Your goodness to us, for what You've done for us and how that You provided for us with great blessings. We thank You, Lord, that You're the one that supplies and meets all of our need according to Your riches and glory. And then through You, Jesus, all things are made manifest in us being able to bless. And we give You all the glory, and we give You all the praise, and we bless our family out there, and we thank You for Your giving as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So go ahead, walk down through the aisles, or you can go. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stay, if hopefully you were in John, but if not, turn to John chapter 6 again. I want to read something there, and then we're going to receive communion and have a time together this morning. Hallelujah. John chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 25. And we're going to read down through 54 in just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. This is right after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus crossed the sea. And many followed Him to find Him, and after they had found Him, He begins to speak to them concerning their motivation and their following Him. And He really begins to get down into the heart of the truth concerning why He had come. Jesus answered them and said, this is verse 26, "Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek Me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto Him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent." And they said therefore unto Him, "What sign showest Thou then, that we may see and believe Thee? What doest Thou, dost Thou? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." And then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth His life unto the world." Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father has given unto me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, that I should lose nothing, but should raise them up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which cometh down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And it is written in the prophets, They shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, except he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, the King James says, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us of his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my body is, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Praise the Lord. Turn to one other scripture, and then we're going to receive this morning. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's look at verse 23 together. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's all stand together. Praise the Lord. Marty, I know that you're, you're working that. Can you get away from that? Okay, so if you'd come. And then, Ralph, if you just stay there and man the door, that's a good place. So, Mike, if you can come with Marty, please. If you guys can bring this over and get ready. We're going to come forward, and I would invite everyone that is listening, if there are those out there that are wanting to participate this morning, please go to the fridge and grab anything. It's nothing is sacred in the sense of the elements. It's doing it in remembrance of him. So it can be water and a piece of cracker or bread or whatever. But go and get ready. In the next 5 minutes, we're going to receive this together. And we're going to pray over it. I'm going to say some more words, and we're going to receive it all once together. So go ahead. And let's let these gentlemen bring this. Come on and bring it forward. Please retain the elements and then find your place back at your seat. We're going to receive this all together at the same time. as a family. All right, if you would like, please come forward. We've taught on this, and we've also listened to excellent teaching on the communion table in the last year. Gary Carpenter did some superb teachings that we've all listened to as a group on our Sunday night services. But having that understanding, reading this verse goes a long ways with us. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. In the beginning part of what we just read, when Jesus said to Paul that he repeated in his letter to the Corinthians, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me." As we take the bread together, and you at home, as you take the bread, and maybe you're sitting there with your spouse or a friend, or maybe you're there alone, and of course you're not alone. Jesus is with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit is there. We are to remember what he did. The verses that follow the last verse that says, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," and there was a lot of teaching on that, which spelled out that the old thought process, of which was misrepresented in this teaching, was that people felt that they did not distinguish with what Paul was saying by the Holy Spirit. They felt if they were unworthy, they could not partake. It does not say unworthy. It says unworthily. And what he is accentuating here is that you must understand and appreciate the worth of what Jesus did in the symbols or in the elements. And so when we eat this bread and when we drink this cup, the greatest thing that we can possibly do is go to the place where we make that so worthy in our remembrance. In other words, he went to Pilate's whipping post that his body is broken, that my body doesn't have to be. I have a covenant now. Through that covenant, there should be, this is what he's provided, no sickness for me all the days of my life. Age, hereditary things, nothing. In this body, there's no allergies. There's no nothing. This body was broken for me. Every miracle that I need is in remembrance of this body. Besides for that, his body was broken that he brings into unity the body of Christ. And there's a body of Christ out there that's not yet in here. There's a church that's supposed to be full. When I take this morning, I'm going to take it in remembrance that he first, that man, Isaiah 52, prior to 53, says his vigil, it says visage, but it says to us, our vernacular would be, his vigil form was marred than any man. Jesus was not a pretty sight when they got through beating him. I believe that you understand, but I hope that you'll take just a screenshot in your heart and you'll look at it for just a moment and say, the ugliest creature at any point in time, marred of all men, was that man for me. And every part of his body being beaten, it wasn't just his back. It was his legs, his torso, his chest. Every part of it was distorted and marred so that at this moment in time, when it's broken, I can remember that he did that for me and receive his healing into my body. I also, as I tear this bread, I know that his separation my faith as an intercessor in what he did, I can believe that in this covenant, those out there that are mine, they're mine inheritance. I've got a niece that's running the streets today. I don't know where she's at. Drugs are destroying her body. I've got cousins that without Christ will spend time in judgment. I've got cousins who are involved in homosexuality. I've got family members that are addicted to drugs. I've got people in my life that when I receive this torn body, I not only receive it for myself, I receive it in believing that which is torn becomes a unity for me. That in the days ahead, not one will be lost. Not one will be lost. Not a son. Some of you got sons, daughters, family members that are estranged from you and Christ, or one or the other. But today, as we eat, let us look at him and believe what he provided. Let's stand together. We'll eat this bread to start with. I'm going to pray a prayer overall, corporately. You can pray in your own heart or whatever the Holy Spirit leads you in agreement. Father, I thank you for this broken body. We celebrate Christmas knowing that there is a promise, Lord, of your healing. For Lord, we thank you that your body was broken, that my body doesn't have to be, and we receive the healing power. Jesus, I say concerning my body, and I pray for all of these that they'll have the same faith. As I look at you in that pitiful, pathetic state as a worm beaten, this is my salutation. This is my faith. No cancer lives in my body all the days of my life. No cancer. No, nothing inside of me or on the outside of me, on my skin, my eyes, my lungs, my liver, my kidneys, every part of my being, all the days of my life. Not even an allergy, Lord, nothing, not an intolerance to any kind of food, nothing lives inside of me because of what you took for me. No genetic trait is passed down to me. Everything lives in life and in fullness because of you, Jesus. I receive no curse in my body, and I receive no curse over my life. For Galatians 3:13 says, cursed was he who hung on a tree for me. And I bless you, Father. I receive this life, and I eat this life with my friends and family this day. And I also say, Lord, I believe you for my family that is lost. I believe you for their family that is lost, that this house is full and this house comes to a place, Lord God, that it restores those that are wavered. We bless you, Father, and we eat this bread together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The word says, as we continue to stand, after the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. As we take the cup, this is the blood. This is the New Testament in his blood. This blood birthed us into the kingdom. And this blood also is a sustaining factor in 1 John 1:9. It is a cleansing to us always. So as I would encourage you, as you drink this blood, Jesus said, "My body is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." So we believe this is symbolizing his blood that was shed beginning first in the garden. So every drop of blood was for every moment of fear, every moment of anxiety, every drop that fell to the ground, and everything that happened at the cross was birthing our salvation. That blood did not go away. It's still part of a Christian's life. It's not just the beginning part, it's a continuation part. It's the 1 John 1 and 9, up to the day that you depart out of this life. So I would encourage all of you, as I often do, as I stand here and I say this to you, Father, thank you for this blood. Thank you for that which has birthed me. But I thank you, Father, for that which continually cleanses me on a continual basis. Father, I thank you for the 1 John 1, 9, for this blood that cleanses me, that washes me. Lord, I say this to you and you alone. Forgive me of all of anything that may be present in my life that is not pleasing to you, anything that I know about or anything that I don't know about. Lord, any hindrances, anything tucked away, anything that, Lord God, any small, even if there's any small offense against any brother, sister, anyone in this world, cleanse me, wash me. Thank you for this blood. And because of this blood, Father, there is not a devil in hell that can have dominion over me or over this body. We do this in remembrance on this Christmas season. Thank you that this Jesus that was born as a child is now Lord of heaven, and his blood stands forever. And we thank you for this blood, and this we do in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. Take of the blood, please. Would you lift your hands and give him adoration? We worship you, Jesus. We thank you for this. Lord, I pray that today that you'll fill our homes and the homes of these, Lord, as we celebrate this Christmas season, that there'll be peace. No loss. No matter what loss has been in this year, no matter who has died, what divorce is taken, what financial loss has temporarily taken, what pains in the body, whatever has come, Lord, through grace and through your shed blood, all things are possible to be changed. And while we are in the changing process, you promised a peace that passes all understanding. So we have eaten your body and drank your blood in this remembrance of you, that, Lord, we live healthy. And we feel your presence throughout this day and throughout tomorrow. We bless this congregation and all of our family out there. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' precious name, be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you and Merry Christmas.